Welcome to the Grappling Grappling Rewind Podcast.
I'm your host, Maine, with my co-host.
God damn it, you cut me off when I was going to say with your co-host, Josh.
It's a running joke, Josh.
You piece of shit.
Welcome to this week on the Grappling Rewind Podcast. This week on the show, we are going to recap
all the things, you know, the grappling, where we record on Sunday, and you don't hear any of this shit till Tuesday, and all the news comes out on Monday.
Yeah, we got boned by that last week. Pretty much every week, something big happens on Monday, and it's like, well, that's not going to be in the show this week. So this week on the show, we are going to recap Honored Invitational 8 in Austin, Texas. We are also going to recap the Copa Podio Heavyweight Grand Prix.
Yay, you said it right.
How many episodes, man? We're like 32 episodes in. I finally got Copa Podio correct.
You said it right a couple of episodes ago.
I'm having to write it down a lot for the show notes and everything, so I finally got it. I was like, okay, put the A on the first one, put the O on the second one. So that event took place somewhere in Brazil that was cold. We'll get into that a little bit later. As well as this episode, we are going to talk a little bit about the Kasai Pro 3 qualifier that just took place. They now have their 170-pound contender for the Kasai Pro 3 event. As well as we're going to talk about EBI qualifier that happened. I'm not exactly certain if that now guarantees the person from 10th Planet a spot, because I think the last
qualifier they did.
Yep.
Eddie said the last one they did, this was the last one where the person goes straight in.
Had an automatic entry. So now are they an alternate for the event?
Nope. No. This one, apparently, Eddie smoked enough weed to forget that he said that the last time, and she's in.
We are also going to talk a little bit about the BOA Super 8 4th Edition taking place next week. Grappling Industries is putting on a super fight, Wagner Hosha versus Dante Leon. We're going to touch on that. As well as the big dog next week, EBI 16, the female bantamweights, is happening on 6/24/2018.
That would be Sunday.
I forgot what month that was, Josh.
June.
Yep, I forgot what 6 was. It's been a long week. So let's get into it. But before we get into it, some late business from last week. The High Rollers BJJ event, some of the videos are now up. There's like a 3-hour and 18-minute video up of that tournament. And if you're not familiar with that tournament, you've been off the internet for the week, because we were originally going to cover it on the show, but we could not, the day of the event, find anything. It was supposed to be streamed on BeReal TV, and we were refreshing, we were looking, we couldn't find anything. Apparently, it got streamed on the Facebook page for High Rollers, and it was down, but now all the videos are at least half of the event is up. It was cool to see Crazy Horse in a gi, or his now name is Felony, Charles Bennett. He's a blue belt in the gi. That was fun to watch. Joe Schilling slapped on a gi. He's apparently being coached by Mickey Gall. That was cool to see again. DJ Jackson, I think, won his division. Jeff Glover retired from competition. It was a big old event, big old week.
This is the weirdest tournament ever. I'm not going to lie. If you want to smoke weed, I'm not going to stop you. Putting it that up front and being like, yo, we're going to give you a pound of weed as a victory, as a prize. I don't think that puts out the right message. I don't know how I feel about it. It's really weird.
The tournament, by the way, I care about it from a tournament perspective. Like, forget about the prize. It was cool to see certain matchups, and like the blue belt bracket had some like guys that are like, you're a blue belt still? Like, do you know that Charles Bennett fought Uriah Faber in King of the Cage? In, like, the 2000s.
Do you know Charles Bennett has been fighting forever? He's still a blue belt?
He is human PCP. Let's be serious about this. His fight in Ryzen,
no.
Crazy.
He's human meth.
Yeah, I
definitely.
Mean,
but he's still a blue belt? You haven't... That's your
he healed
like
some guy in
knowledge.
The gi, which I thought was hilarious.
Exactly.
I don't know. It was an interesting tournament. It's definitely an interesting event. I just care about it from a competition perspective. I could really give a shit less about like the weed.
I don't care if
drug.
You smoke pot. I do not care.
They were smoking pot
smoke
during
if
the
you
event.
Got them.
Like there was a fight that broke out, and both guys
smoked weed, and then were like, "Now we're cool," and they competed again. Aren't you guys supposed to be really chilled out people? You smoked weed beforehand, and you still felt that you needed to fight somebody.
Turn up to 11, Josh. That competitive setting gets them going. They just see red and they got to go. So,
sure.
Go back if you're interested in it. Watch the event. There were some cool matchups on it. We're not going to cover it because we just got too much stuff to cover this week. Go back and watch it. Cool names on it.
Go back and watch it. It's going to be great. Anyway, what else in news? Oh, Richie Martinez. Speaking of weed, Richie Martinez lost his shit. On the interwebs.
Yep. So apparently, so he posted some stuff, and everyone kind of went, and this is a little harsh for being directed at his school. Basically, like, if you don't show up at this time, basically 6 a.m. or 6 p.m. to go to my competition class, like, I don't consider you my student. And he wrote that. Apparently, he was upset, and he put a redaction to that out. Basically, was like, hey, this was just geared towards the competition students at the school. This wasn't directed towards, like, our general members and everyone else in the affiliation. It was just directed towards basically the guys that are trying to be good competitors and like claiming they're about that life and not showing up to these classes that are like claiming to be my students. You're not showing up. I don't know what you're doing. Like, show up. That's what his redaction was. And that makes a little more sense. But the way it was written initially was the internet tore him apart for that.
Fuck y'all. You're not my students. I'm not going to promote you. It's like, I'm just going to buy a different colored rash guard. Like, that's the only thing I really don't understand about 10th Planet as a system. Like, what are the qualifications? What are the
parameters
for each promotion? What I heard a long time ago, or maybe it's in his book, Eddie Bravo's book.
The first one or the second one?
I can't remember which one. But he talks about, if you want to get promoted to black belt, you have to be able to do full lotus position. Is that, I don't even know if that's,
yeah, that's a position in the system.
I'm aware of that, but I don't know if that's actually true or not. I might just be pulling this out of my ass. It might've been something that I saw on the internet, but they have I don't know the guidelines for their promotion system. So, I mean, how do you grade somebody? What's considered a blue belt in the system? Purple belt, brown belt, black belt. Apparently, if you're a black belt in the gi, you're pretty much a brown belt in their system, but then you have to learn the other things? I don't know. Like, I'd love to see it. If anybody has the outline of how you get promoted, shoot it over. Let me know. Because I'm interested. I'm not shitting on them for anything like that. Like, a lot, their competitors are out there. They're at that upper level. I'm just genuinely curious.
So we talked about it a minute ago, but Jeff Glover retiring. Josh, what do you think about that? What are your thoughts? You've watched him for years and years and years, and what he's done, what he's brought to Deep Half, what he's brought to kind of the whole system. He has that style. Him and Goodland and Glover and Cooper.
Who's Goodland?
Goodland BJJ, that's their school.
Oh.
Yeah, they're Paragon, and they have Goodland as well. So they both compete out of Goodland sometime from time and again.
Oh, okay. I was, you caught me off guard with that one a little bit. His competition has declined.
Kind of since ADCC getting slammed, that was kind of his last big, the big time we've seen him at a major event really doing well. We saw him with one of the earlier EBIs looking spectacular. And then since that slam from Martinez back in,
I'm not gonna say that took it out of him. I mean, he's,
no, I'm not saying it took it out of him. I'm saying like that was the last time I think that we've seen him really on that at the top elite levels of competition was that ADCC event. I forget if
maybe
that was two or three ADCCs ago, but that was I think in the quarters or the round of eight.
I don't honestly remember on that one. Jiu-Jitsu's losing a cool competitor. But he's got to do his own things. You know, he's got to teach. He's got to make money. He's got to do seminars, whatever. Good on him. You know, he decided, hey, I'm not going to keep hanging around the scene too much and just putting my body through this, because everybody knows jiu-jitsu's rough on you no matter what. So it was cool seeing him compete for as much as I've watched jiu-jitsu. It'll be interesting to see if he puts anything on himself. I know he did those like jiu-jitsu in the park things, mm-hmm, in California. So no, maybe he'll put more into that. Maybe he'll run his own little tournament thing. Who knows? But, you know, good on him and good luck to whatever he does.
I love his nickname is the Pipe Layer.
He slays, probably.
I bet he does. I remember the first time when I was first getting into jiu-jitsu and competitive jiu-jitsu, I remember him being a commentator for Meta Morris, and he was one of the secret matches. And this dude came out with jiu-jitsu tattooed on his knuckles. I was like, who is this guy? Like, this is Jeff Glover. I'm like a white belt. I'm like, I don't know who that is, but okay, I'm down. And he came up like right from commentary, took his stuff off, walked onto the mats. I was like, this is dope. Like, this is how the sport works all the time. And I realized that was like a one-off thing, but that was my first introduction to Jeff Glover, and it was cool to see that back in the day.
I remember just being on one of the older jiu-jitsu forums and him talking about doing steroids. And that, I'm serious. And it, like, the internet was like, oh, what the fuck? And he's like, dude, seriously? Like, come on. It's like, I believe he was helping out on the Ultimate Fighter or something like that. And he was like, I'm not taking it to get big. Do I look like a big person? No, I got to recover. How do you train, like, all day, every day without doing something? And he was like, I have a feeling a vast majority of people in jiu-jitsu do steroids. And as Maine and I have gone into depth about...
Openly talked about it.
We don't care. We want you competing at your best.
You don't care. I encourage it. I want guys on steroids. Like I said, every episode we bring it up, like Josh is like, I don't care, you know, it's either way. I'm like, get on steroids. I want to see you doing it at the events between matches. Recover good. I want to see shark serum in your side. You put an elephant testosterone in your neck, like, between matches. I want to see it, Josh. I don't give a shit.
All right. So, again, he retires. Bummer. Hopefully we'll see him doing something else soon.
So that does it for news. So on to talking about the EBI qualifier. Liz Tracy is now the 16th person.
She is the second 10th planet person in there.
Well, in the bracket, right? It's 16 person bracket. So she's they always kind of seed them last. Typically, they usually put them in the 16th seed. Yeah. Is in the bracket where they put them. So they're usually on the lower. Was that right hand? Right, lower right or left hand side of the bracket?
Normally they're at the upper right hand side, but they're up. Up against like the person that everybody assumes is going to win a lot of the time.
No, they always seed them like so they get one first round is like.
If you're 16, you should be going against number one.
Then I think I'm wrong there because usually they get a round of like a middle person, and then they run into the big guy.
I think
on one side of the bracket.
I think they're always put on the harder side of the bracket.
Yes.
And they always run into somebody, and it's very rare. Like, Keith Krikorian, was it Krikorian?
Yep, Krikorian.
He got out of the first round, but then ran into somebody.
Mm-hmm. He get through one or two rounds.
Something like that. Yeah. But a lot of times,
and
you'll
he's been
see
on
the...
a fucking tear. He was a purple belt back then. He's been on a fucking tear in the sub-only scene recently. We saw him on Smash Underground 5, and like, so... We've seen legit people come out of the qualifying event.
Yeah, but you're also running into, you know, the Wagner Hoshas and the Gary Tonins and the Gordon Ryans and
big dog, the big dogs, as it be.
Yeah.
And no one fares well against them anyway. So exciting to see Liz Tracy. She showcased some good stuff. She really wanted to get her opponent out, tapped her in the final round of the event, tapped her, didn't make it go to overtime.
It's not as long. The qualifier is not as long as I thought it was going to be. Eddie made a speech in the beginning of it where I was like, why are you even saying? He's like, we don't even have that many women. I'm like, that's not something you really want to talk about.
That's not a selling point.
That's not a selling point that's going to get more women in there. Just be like, hey, you guys are the grassroots of this, you know, of this movement, of this sub-only female movement, even though it's not sub only. And I'll always
we've talked about it. If you want to hear Josh's thoughts on sub only, go back a couple episodes. Basically, Josh's thoughts on sub only are if the match is an hour and a half, match is an hour and a half.
Right. So that's sub only. That's true submission only. This is, you know, rounds that can only be ended in submission or they go to overtime. Anyway, that was one of the things that just, it threw me off. I was like, why are you like zeroing in on not having that many women where you're just sort of filling this bracket with whoever that's roughly close to this weight because you don't have enough? Don't say that. Say, hey, again, you know, you're the ground level for this movement. You know, let's show the world what we have. And build from here and keep continuing to build up women's jiu-jitsu and building up our program in women's jiu-jitsu and only seeing, you know, blossoming levels. It eventually evolved into that where it was like, you know, we started out with X amount of black belts, and it was these guys, and now it's all of these people.
But the beginning of the speech was a little odd.
Yeah, yeah.
But again, Liz Tracy flew out from Portland.
Yes.
For this event, so that's always cool to see like people from the association coming out to these events that are not
just
local.
You're making it seem like Portland is really, really far away from California.
Oh, yeah, I forgot the other side of the country works like that. Not going to lie, Josh, I totally forgot. I thought it was like, oh, it's across the country.
California.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Washington, Oregon.
Yeah, and I got that now. I figured that they were flying from like Baltimore out, and I said, that's a huge flight across the country in hindsight.
Even then, that's only like five,
that's
6 hours.
That's a big-ass flight.
Bro, you're not flying 18 hours. It's not like,
it's
oh,
not
hey,
Thailand.
This is,
yeah, I'll
you
give
know,
you that, but still, it's
Rikako Yuasa. It's like, oh, yeah, she flew 20 hours to get here.
Yeah, Craig Jones pulling double duty in Japan one night and then the next night in Austin, Texas. Remember that?
Yeah, you know, he's not, it's not a huge gap.
All right, Josh, every week with the geography here. So she is on the event. Go back and watch the qualifier. It is on Eddie Bravo's YouTube channel. It's about an hour and a half long. Some good matchups.
1 hour and 27 minutes.
It's always
the
cool.
Shortest one
yep.
That I've seen.
Definitely. But it's always cool to see what's your alternate, or not alternate, what's your 16th seed? What not seed, what's your, one of your competitors
your
looks like.
Your second slot. Your final entrant into it. It's normally kept under wraps until,
like the week before, which is why it's coming out now.
Yeah, the week before. So
it's always cool to get a little preview of exactly what the competitor looks like leading up to the event in the rule set against similarly sized competitors.
Right, and seeing a little bit of their game as opposed to, you know, most of the competitors on the card, and when we cover it later in upcoming events, we will go through that competitor list. But you're like, oh, this person can do this, you know, be a mosquito's in it. It's like, oh, she's a terror.
She's number one seed.
Frightening. Yeah. I can't. Is Bianca Basilio in this too?
I believe so. She was.
Yeah. She's a nightmare to deal with. So, you know, it's going to be awesome to see how it turns out. But again, we'll talk about it a little bit more in the upcoming events. So, Liz Tracy, your second 10th planet qualifier.
So on to Onnit 8, Onnit Invitational 8 in Austin, Texas.
Yeah.
So do you want to expound upon that a little bit, Josh?
They seem to throw together the worst commentary teams.
Oh, we're going to start there?
Yes.
Oh, I don't get it.
I
last,
don't either.
Last event, it was the woman that had a sore throat that couldn't speak.
No, that was the one before
that. Was Onnit 6?
Yeah.
Okay. They had Jason Ellis on this event.
Remember, 7 was the one that got pulled down, and then it was like chopped up, and Michelle Watterson was on 7, and there were the kids on
there. The kids on 7. This event had Jason Ellis, who they touted, and they didn't tout, they joked about him being an MMA fighter. He has 2 MMA fights, both by submission wins. He doesn't understand jiu-jitsu and openly talked and made jokes about not understanding jiu-jitsu. I don't know how much jiu-jitsu he actually understands. We've seen him go against Shab. He's got a bunch of other stuff online. He grapples, obviously. But I couldn't tell if he was being funny or if he legitimately didn't understand a bunch of the positions that were happening.
I don't think he does. And
like
I think they used him as like a personality. He has a podcast. So they're like, oh, yeah, he can talk, which is fine. And he can talk. That's fine. But that doesn't add anything to the commentary team.
Well, talking and doing commentary are different things. He didn't understand this. If you watch anything 10th Planet-y, which is what the Onnit Invitational is, it's, you know, it's a 10th Planet showcase tournament. There's nothing wrong with that. They have super fights.
There are other people from other gyms but it's based out of the 10th Planet Austin,
yep,
which is in the Onnit
and
gym.
Most matches have a 10th Planet guy in them. Like it's a 10th Planet showcase. I'm fine with that. I like professional grappling. The guys that you're getting paid at the end, Frank Rosenthal won the 145 bracket.
Kyle Chambers won the 185-pound bracket.
And Derek Flagg, dude from Reddit. Is his name Flagg? They called him Flagg, but I'm not sure how it's pronounced.
We apologize, sir. His name is iButtScoot on Reddit. He won the fastest submission.
He hooked him quick.
13 seconds, according to the interwebs, 13 seconds. It was fast.
Yeah. But the commentary was – it was weird to hear them talk about positions, and then it was weird to hear Ellis chime in, and basically the information he provided was, I don't understand what's happening. And he's going for this. Oh, no, he's going for this. Oh, is he going for a leg or a knee? And he didn't have an understanding of, like, the difference between a heel hook and a straight ankle. At one point, a dude's going for a straight ankle, and they're calling it a heel hook. Oh, he's going for the heel hook. It's like, yo, he doesn't have the heel at all. It's under his arm. Like, he's going for a straight ankle lock.
There were certain points where everybody was getting, like, excited about what was going on. And they were like, oh, he finished with a heel hook. I was like, what match are we watching?
He's attacking the knee. It's like, yo, he's in 50-50, and they're both looking at each other. He's not attacking the knee bar. Like, it was odd to hear a professional event have commentators that didn't seem to understand. Okay, so in their defense, if you actually look at how the event is set up, they're not looking at monitors. They are across the mat at, like, a slightly raised platform that they're watching the event.
Right in front of the mat, yeah. Right,
but I will give them that there are certain positions that maybe they can't see effectively, and so they're trying to call stuff they can't see, to their defense. But there were certain things where you'd see a guy do a 50-50 transition to something else, and they wouldn't know what he was doing. They had no idea, and they didn't know how to call it. They were calling the wrong things, and it happened repeatedly. It was weird. They run 8 events, and this is a problem every single one of their events.
The bigger problem with all of their events is the actual audio itself. Maine is probably more on it than I am, but if you have a good audio stream, I'm happy. It was touch and go. Ellis's mic went out. He couldn't hear. It was kind of quiet at certain points.
They kept reading the names. They kept not cutting out their commentary mics when they would do the intros for introducing the grapplers.
And I like that they, like, really added that and made that. Or maybe I'm just forgetting that they did it.
No, they've always done it. But usually what you do in those events is you cut out all auxiliary inputs to your broadcast when you're doing any sort of pre-recorded tape. So now they did tail the tape for the competitors. Usually what you do is you play that as its own ad block or its own section with no other inputs going out of your broadcast.
Yeah.
And they didn't cut the mics out. So you hear the audience mic, you heard the commentary mic, and you heard the tail of the tape mic at the same time. You're like, why am I hearing three people talking over each other?
The loudest.
It was the loudest. It was good. And they balanced the audio like okay, but it's weird to see. The reason why, and we always say it every time we bitch about an event, the reason why we're somewhat critical about certain events for certain stuff like this is because we want jiu-jitsu to grow, we want it to get bigger, and when stuff like this happens, it's such a cool, like, these are such cool events. Like, we have guys that are getting paid to do submission grappling. We want the product to be better so that people can watch and go, oh yeah, they put on a really good event, and there was no technical problems. But when there's technical problems like this and this sort of stuff happens, like, we want to talk about it so that it can be corrected, like that, what Josh just did. But it's one of those, like, I beat you because I love you kind of things.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. We watched the event. The fact that we found out that it happened and they were putting on grappling, it was awesome. So we're like, cool, this is more jiu-jitsu to watch, more people that it's like, oh, we don't know this guy, but then we hear about them, whomever it is. You know, I haven't really heard of Kyle Chambers. I know about him now.
You know, we've covered him before, right?
Probably.
All right.
But, you know, that's like saying, keep track of every single guy that you've covered in these 32 episodes so far.
Do we have an episode where we covered 106 different people in the episode?
You counted it?
It was the SUG episode. We had 5 events. And we covered 112 matches that week.
Oh, yeah.
And then I counted, because there was some crossover. Some guys were on a couple events.
I thought it was 120-some.
Man, it was over 100, whatever it was. I thought it was 112, but we covered 106 different grapplers that week.
I bet you one of them was Wagner Hosha, and that's the only one that I'll remember.
Craig Jones was on the week, too.
Okay. That's fine and dandy, but again, it's really hard to keep track of every single person. It's not like we have one of those, like...
A database, Josh?
One of those. Or even one of those, like, when you see in police shows where they have the center person and then they have the little web that goes out to everybody and everybody's picture is pinned.
Dude, that would be amazing. The crime scene diagram.
Yeah,
where it's like
the
connections for all the mob bosses, and it's like, oh, this guy did this here, uh-huh, this murder scene here. We're putting all the red tape together.
Exactly.
Yeah, on the board. What's that called?
I
spider web?
I don't know. I'm too fucking stupid.
We don't have one of those. So if you have one of those, BJJ Heroes is the closest thing we got to that. And they, like IBJJF and other big organizations, they don't really like little organizations and guys that aren't like world championship black belts.
Yeah.
If you're not a top guy, they don't have a page for you.
That's why we're here.
Like, dude, Nathan Orchard didn't have a page last time I checked.
He should. He beat AJ Aguilar.
Yep, and that's
fuck
when
that.
I checked, Josh, and that's what I was like, fuck okay, who'd be? Boom. Oh, he has no page. Like, guys that are relatively known in the scene don't have pages, so I can't wait till, like, a topology database comes out or a Sheridog database comes out that's as expansive as that is. The problem in why that's so easy is because that's all commission results. They get that stuff from the commissions, and whatever the commission reports on, they pull that because it's a public record of a fight. And so they can get it that way. That's why those databases are so expansive.
Well, now that we've gotten completely off track.
Completely.
There were a lot of heel hooks in this event.
Somebody said it best. They said it about EBI. I forget who it was, but they said EBI would look exactly the same if the only submission that was legal was heel hooks. This event wasn't like that. There were some blue belt matches. There were some other...
There's a whole bunch of mixed matches.
Yeah, there was some triangles and there was some other stuff, the head and arms. There was a bunch of stuff that got done, but the majority of the subs at this event were heel hooks, followed closely by knee bars, followed by straight ankle locks.
It's the brand new thing, no gi. Like, why would you pass the guard? Why would you take somebody's back? Why would you do any of that if you can rip their fucking leg off?
Why would I need to get good at guard passing where I can just sit back for a leg with 10 seconds left and rip your foot off?
That's not saying people aren't, but I get what you're saying. Like, for instance, Frank Rosenthal, match started, he sat.
All through his matches.
It was an invite to come into his guard, try to pass it, and try not to get heel hooked.
Jump into my guard, bro. Jump into my guard.
God, don't do that ever. Ever again, please.
You don't like my Finnish accent, Josh? Jump into my guard, bro.
God, stop. It's a lot of heel hooks, but again, some of the things that you see, we made mention of this before, that the 10th Planet guys are more still on that like 50-50 style
mm-hmm. in a big way.
Leg lock system, as opposed to Frank Rosenthal, for instance, since he's a Danaher guy. You're seeing that outside reap going inwards, that side saddle, the honey hole, whatever you want to call
411.
Whatever you want to call it.
Inside Senkaku.
You see that more from the Danaher guys than you see from the 10th Planet guys or even other people not related to that gym. You see a lot of them going more for the 50-50 entanglement than anything else.
I think it's overall in the sport, it's definitely the more common entanglement. It's been around a few more years, and a lot of gyms will do it more often because it's legal. That 50-50 entanglement is legal. You just add the heel hooks in an environment where that's legal. But in the gi and no gi, most gyms guys are fine with 50-50. And then in a pro event, you just add the heel hooks in, or a high event, you just add the heel hooks into it. It's fine. The inside senkakus, all that stuff, the inside leg reap. A lot of gyms, I think, still are. It's more frowned upon for the only upper level guys can do that in the gym.
I think if you're showing and teaching leg locks, reaping should be the first thing you teach before you do it. Like, that outside leg should be coming in and tangling up. Even when I didn't know what the word reap was, or the fact that I did 50-50 before it became named the 50-50, you know, I was like, what's the best way? Because I was awful at jiu-jitsu, and the only thing I was semi-decent at was leg locks. So I was like, how do I slow people down? How do I hurt them more quickly? And, you know, going into that 50-50 position and going into those outside to inside reaps, 411 honey hole, whatever
the name you want to use is,
whatever you want to call it, you know, I figured those things out. I'm not saying that they're, you know, on a Gordon Ryan, Eddie Cummings, John Danaher level or anything like that, but they're not hard to figure out.
No, and you figure out how the knee gets. Like, okay, I can put my foot here, my knee here, and it stops his foot and knee from doing a thing it wants to do,
right.
And it lets me do the thing I want to do.
So, again, I think it should be explored more with all gyms, and people need to look into it more, and I hope Eddie Bravo...
Did you just say people need to look into it?
Yeah, they need to look into it more.
God damn.
I set that up on purpose. You're welcome.
And it upset me on purpose.
I'm pretty sure Eddie Bravo was one of the first people to buy John Danaher's leg lock system, and we'll be watching it, and then you'll see the 10th Planet guys disseminating all of said knowledge.
The moons?
Yes, those. All of those. And you'll be seeing them closing the gap of it. Keep doing what you're doing. Change a few things on it. You know, get somebody that really, really, not saying that those people didn't care about jiu-jitsu, but that cares about it and is able to speak on it. Commentary wise, tell your video guys or whoever's running your board to stop cutting to the commentary people's faces when there's a match going on.
There was less of that this one.
There was much less. Still of that. Happened.
Yeah.
And just make sure your audio is good. But other than that, it was a fun event to watch. It's on YouTube. It didn't get taken down. No UFC copyright claims, whatever the hell that was about.
It was some music last time.
Whatever.
No, I think it was actually, it was an ad that they had run in the middle of their broadcast that was also an ad that was appearing on Fight Pass. And so they got taken down for that reason, I think, is what happened for Onyx 7.
Whatever. That's stupid. You've got more people to look out for. Frank Rosenthal, obviously.
We've seen him like 3 weeks in a row, man.
A whole
just
bunch
killing
of...
it. Another DDS guy that we'll see on EBI in the next year.
You know, guaranteed. Kyle Chambers. Even Derek Flag or Flag, however you say your name. I kept hearing Flag. And as your name is on Reddit, I butt scoot or I love... What was it? Bring it up really quick. It's over here. Yeah, there it is. I butt scoot. He was literally the first match. He posted the card, and he won really, really, really fast. It was awesome.
I love it. Some fast subs, Josh. In, yeah. Out, get that paycheck. Wins $500 too. It looks like on Reddit, he's a 4-stripe blue belt, I think, or 3-stripe blue belt. Winning $500 as a blue belt for a tournament win, that's some cool shit. That wasn't around when I was a blue belt, but I was probably shittier and couldn't heel hook a guy in 13 seconds.
I mean, you probably could, but, you know, you just didn't happen to be in a tournament where you would get $500 for it.
Sweet. So that's Onyx Invitational 8. Check it out. It's on YouTube. There's some really fun matches. The 45 bracket is good. The 85 bracket is a lot of fun. And there's a host of super fights on it as well that are worth looking at. So some exciting events happened this weekend, Josh. We had the Kasai Pro 3 tournament, the qualifier event, for the 170-pound division for Kasai Pro 3. That came out kind of a stupid. But and Mateus Lutz wins his division and gets that entry into Kasai Pro 3.
I don't know if it's actually Lutz. It might be Luch. I don't know.
It's Portuguesa, man.
I'm aware. It's L-U-T-E-S. And that might not actually be his name. It might be a nickname. But this is what we have off of the Instagram.
He's a Marcelo guy. He's a brown belt. Dope competitor, world champion in the color belts, 2-time Nogi world champion in the color belts, 5-time Pan champion Nogi. Like, dude's decorated, dude's the kind of guy that we like to see on these events. So he wins the advanced bracket. He gets to go to Kasai 3 at 170, so it's exciting.
Yeah, he fills that 8th person as that slot, so it'll be cool to see him compete. When we get a full... Do we have a full?
We have close to a full card. I think we do now.
Hmm.
I'm talking out of my ass, but I think we do.
It'll be interesting to see. I've enjoyed their tournaments, their events. There we go. Their events so far. So it'll be interesting to see what they do continuing on, because we've done 55. We've done 85.
Yep. 55. Then we did lightweight. We did middleweight. And now we're doing welterweight.
Sweet. So hopefully they do light heavyweight and not featherweight.
I want to see featherweight first before light
I'd
heavy,
like to
honestly.
See feather and bantamweight before I see light heavyweight. But still.
I'll go with that. Yeah. Those are exciting. With Kasai's rule set, I think that'd be the most exciting.
Yes.
So again, he gets that. Excited to see him here in a little bit on Kasai Pro 3. So on to our breakdown of Copa Podia Season 5 Finale, the Heavyweight Grand Prix. Did I do the O again? Josh is shaking his head at me. Copa Podio.
You used the A. Even though you said it right before, now you changed it to Copa Podia. And you just said Grand Prix, not Grand Prix, you dumb fuck.
Man, it's spelled P-R-I-X. That's
yeah,
Prix.
It's pre. You can, it's French.
No, pre. No, it's pre. P-R-E-E.
Pre.
Pre. Prix is P-R-I-X, man. No. It's a Grand Prix.
God, you're so stupid.
Copa, Podio, Season 5 Finale, Heavyweight Grand Prix. This event was a lot of fun. Before we get into the event, which was awesome, you should go watch it. You can get it on Copa Podio's website on fightarea.tv. It's like $10. You can watch it, replay it for like a whole week. It's a lot of fun. Good event. Great matches. We see Kanan Duarte's debut at Black Belt. A bunch of other guys. Jared Dobbs in this event.
Amelson Gobi.
Bones is in this event. Devontae Johnson. It's a fun event. Watch it. There's some super fights on it. It's a good event. Now, from a technical perspective, the event's about 4 hours and 12 minutes long. It was a long event, very long event. There is a buzzing on the broadcast of the event for the entire 4 hours and 12 minutes and 6 seconds of the event. And if you work in audio, you'll know that that buzzing is when you have a source plugged into a mic, plugged into the same power source. That's the buzzing noise. And it went on for 4 hours. I had to mute it at certain points. Luckily, all of the speaking is in Portuguese, which I speak none of. I can say about 4 words, so it wasn't really a problem.
Can't say pre, though.
That's French, man. We talked about that, Josh. I'm not a French speaker. You hit me with some Spanish, I got you. I can roll my R's real good. Amarillo. As I do it the most terrible way ever. So, it's a lot of fun. So go back, watch the event. We're going to get into it.
So, what was weird was it was listed originally as 3 rounds female, gi and no gi.
What I think it might have been is it will go up to 3 rounds if there's no sub. But there was a sub, so it's why it wasn't 3 rounds.
Oh.
Maybe is what happened. Because it's okay. Not ACB. It's like, I think it's like ACBJ. If you sub anywhere in the match, any round finishes the match. But
I just don't remember that
rounds.
Happening in previous ones. And maybe that never happened.
I fuck up Copa Podio rules all the time, so I'm not even going to speak on why. But it's listed as 3 rounds. Didn't go the 3 rounds, Josh.
No, it did not. Bianca Basilio, man, she is on a tear. She's going to be scary at EBI.
Mm-hmm.
So, it stayed kind of close. But Bianca Basilio ended up later in the match jumping on a foot and going. And, you know, they're battling back and forth a little bit. And she straightens it out, locks it out, hits her with a straight foot lock. And I was like, what happened? And I actually had to rewind it a little bit, and she locked
it
out.
I did the same thing, Josh. I thought they fell out of bounds, and I went, oh, they're going to reset. And the match ended, and I went, wait, what? What happened? Back. Oh, shit, she got her with
she
it.
She got her, and you see Lucian just, she's like, ah! And she makes a noise or says something, and that was the tap. So, again, Bianca Basilio has been on a roll. So it'll be interesting to see her in no-gi doing some work at EBI, but she won her female match by straight foot lock.
Straight ankle lock?
I like how I said female match because I'm looking at it. It says 3-round female. It's like, okay.
We're looking at the Brazilian translation
in English. It's in English.
It is English, actually, Josh.
You don't have to Google translate that page because it was in English because there's a thing that you can hit
at the top, yeah,
Brazil,
yeah,
or,
I got it.
Or America, and it does the translation
so,
for you.
On to the next match, Diego Borges versus Charles Dubronx, also known as Charles Oliveira.
The MMA fighter.
Yeah, most submissions are tied for most submissions in the UFC history. Hella submissions, Josh. He got a hella dangerous sub game when it comes to the punching and the kicking.
Yeah, and sometimes he just gets punched and kicked. And
he does sometimes. He does go to sleep sometimes.
He's really creepy looking, too, when he cuts to 145.
Dude, his cheeks are be sunken in, and not in, like, the good way.
Are be sunken in?
He looks like Skeletor when he's at 145.
He looks very frightening.
This is an 80-kilo match.
Good. So it's in the 160s?
Yeah. Which is still, I think, a cut for him as well. I mean,
probably
he's
not
a,
as much.
No, it's, yeah, no shit. 160 is more than 145, but...
It's more.
Yes, but he's still probably... I think it looks like he had to cut some weight to get there. He didn't look as full as he looked, like... in Instagram before camps and stuff, so I assume he cut some weight to get there.
He didn't have as many pieces of cake.
Because he's had a problem missing weight, I'm just saying. They gave him shit for it, almost made him move up, and then he was like, I'll get this shit, and then he made weight.
So, it was It's kind of an uneventful match. Diego Borges scored a takedown and got two, and that's where it ended. We were talking about it, and it was amusing that they're interviewing at the end, and there's just no sound.
Yeah, so again, I think there was an audio issue. I think the board was blown or something, because there's that buzzing noise the entire time, and they're doing an interview with Charles Oliveira, and you can't hear them, like, at all. Like, there's no audio. It's not like, oh, I can't understand them because it's Portuguese. Can't hear them. So, no idea.
So
there actually might have been commentary for this event, Josh. It just wasn't broadcast.
Possibly.
But who knows? So,
when I was watching it, I was like, there are people talking right now, right? So maybe because I started to watch the replay again, I just forgot and they just cut it out. I don't remember.
I don't know, because the only people I can hear are the announcers on like the arena broadcast system. That's getting picked up on the mic, because it seems like they have the crowd kind of mic'd. And so that's being picked up, but there's no other broadcast audio present in the entire event.
Yeah. So let's get on to the Grand Prix.
Grand Prix, Josh?
Grand Prix.
Got it.
I always love these. It's really cool. It's the same thing almost. Kasai follows this format pretty much, where everybody battles everybody in your group.
On your groups. There's two groups. There's the green group and there's the yellow group. Everyone, the four guys in the green group fight each other. Everyone's a round robin. And the four guys in the yellow group compete against each other. It's a round robin. And then the winner of the two groups.
The two people with the most points coming out of those two groups.
Right.
Go against each other, and the winners of those two matches go to the finals, and the losers of the other two matches go for third place.
Yeah, so a lot of matches happened. Yeah. We're not going to break down them all.
It's 4 hours long, and that's a lot of jiu-jitsu, and that's a lot of... So yeah, this happened, and then this guy won by an advantage, or this guy won this. Everybody had their matches where they looked great. And everybody had some matches where they didn't look so good.
That's kind of what I thought was most telling. Is like, again, like everyone had a match that was like, oh, damn, he's looking like real, real good. And everyone had a match that was like, yo, what the fuck? Where's the guy that was there like 25 minutes ago? Where'd he?
Could be tired.
Could have
blown the load right there.
Yeah, but you saw a bunch of dimorphic performances between competitors.
Did you? That's a big word for you, Maine.
I also don't think it's used correctly, by the way.
Probably not.
I think it's the wrong use of that word. So
dynamic. Dynamic.
Well,
I think
dimorphic is like two. It's like bifurcated. There's two performances from the person, a good one and a bad one.
I don't think that's the right word.
All right, calm down, Webster. So, the finals match.
Which Webster, the dictionary or the character from the TV show?
Obviously the dictionary. I'm speaking them big words, Josh.
I'd rather be Webster from the TV show.
Doing me an educate. So, on to the finals match here. For the Grand Prix, we had Kanan Duarte versus
Felipe Andrew. I love how you threw it off to me like, oh, this is a really hard name to say. It's Felipe Andrew.
Man, I didn't know. I didn't want to say his nickname.
Oh, I'm sorry. Here, I don't want to say. What is that? Jesus, blow that up. You know I'm blind. Come on. Didn't wear my reading spectacles. Whoa, wow.
Exactly, Josh. Felipe Andrew. Felipe Andrew.
We should put that into Google Translate and see what it translates to.
We should. So I'll do that while you talk about the match, Josh.
So again, Kanan Duarte is black belt debut.
Yeah.
You know, he got promoted. Apparently it's a city in Just go to Google Translate.
It's a city in Brazil. It's a municipality in Brazil, is what it is. Kakuryu.
That's a Japanese name.
Right.
Oh, anyway. So he's at that level. He's keeping up with the black belts in the event. He's beaten brown belts. This was, again, supposed to be iron brown belt. People got promoted, so that kind of fucked it up. So they turned it into the heavyweights Grand Prix. And there you go. It means that. Okay, the word that it is that's what it means. It's probably just the city.
Yep.
So now getting into the match, because, you know, we're getting thrown off completely. It's a lot of Felipe Andrew playing guard and trying to use his De La Riva to sweep, and Kanan Duarte coming in and trying to pass and do all these things and falling off to
and
his side.
And he gets close on a couple passes where he's almost around the legs, almost gets the points, and then they go out, or then almost gets there. And time's getting a little low in the match. About halfway through the match.
A little bit more than halfway through the match. He steps in at one point and looks like he's trying to do a big back step. And Felipe Andrew comes up, but Kanan pops up with him. And so Felipe Andrew just sits right back down. So now Felipe Andrew's on the ground. He's really close, like in flying triangle / armbar territory to Kanan Duarte. And he goes reaching for an ankle while Kanan Duarte jumps for a flying triangle or flying armbar, excuse me. We were discussing whether it was an armbar.
Yeah, I initially thought it was a flying triangle, and then we went back and rewatched it, and it was like, no, that's totally a flying armbar. It's not a flying triangle at all.
So Felipe Andrew picks at the ankle as Kanan jumps up for the armbar. Kanan misses it, and Felipe Andrew comes up.
With the sweep.
Two.
And that was the only, there were some advantages back and forth in the match, but that was those were the only points scored in the match, and that's what secures Felipe Andrew the victory over Kanan Duarte.
The Grand Prix champion. Kanan Duarte, impressive performance for his first outing as a black belt. We got to see Jared Dopp, who is definitely with Alliance.
Yeah, definitely with Alliance now.
I don't know what that's about. Again, maybe it's because he moved. Not 100% sure. What's funny is we're also looking at some of the results. And Horacio Antunes was a judo black belt that went into this as well. And Kanan Duarte beat him by a worm bar.
Which in all of my years of looking at results, Joss, I've never seen that actually written down like that.
And it's because worm guard isn't really like, hasn't been a popularized thing for a very long time.
Okay, what he hits is an armbar.
It's a swing over armbar, but it's from the worm guard.
It's from like, it technically is from the worm guard. If you want to look at that as like, he has a lapel here, has his leg here. It's a swing over armbar. Like it's
yeah,
just, that was called an armbar.
He only had the one arm, and he swung it over and bellied down immediately and started extending the hips and hitting.
Man, are we really going to call all these armbar variations by their variation name? This is a dead orchard. This is a one arm triangle. This thing. This is an over the head neck crank armbar. Like,
yes.
Man, all right. I'm a scientist. I'm down for that. I'm a splitter, not a lumper when it comes to genetics. So I'm down to call each one of them their own little thing.
I mean, we do call it the dead orchard.
We do. That's what it's called.
Yeah. I mean, even though people were doing it before him, that's what it's called now.
So we're calling this a worm bar. So that's I've never it seen is. It written down, but he hits a worm bar, which I cannot laugh and say because it just sounds ridiculous. But it's super legit, nice and quick. There's no setup to it. He just swings his leg over, gets around the head, and cranks the submission.
Right. And actually, his first three matches were won by submission, toe hold, worm bar, and triangle. You're going up against these dudes. You're stepping up in competition, technically.
No, you're not. You've done a black belt for a while now. You just didn't have the actual belt. We can bullshit all you want. Dude was a black belt and then got the belt that said he was a black belt. He's not doing any stepping up in competition. He's been there.
Well, technically, yes, he is. It doesn't matter. Like there was an article on it. It's like how these people did the following year, what they did at the next belt, so on and so forth. We don't know yet because...
Oh, we know now. We do know now.
Yeah, but who's the people that he's going to be going against at the black belt level, like Kumpans or Worlds? Like, think about those.
Yeah, they're kind of different level of guys. So, again, Felipe Andrew crushes through his guys too. Reverse triangle in the first round, mountain triangle in the second round, wins by points versus Renato Cardoso 9-0. Then he hits, what the fuck is that word, Josh?
Botinha.
Yeah, where I'm from, we call that a straight ankle lock, Josh.
Sometimes when you look at results from websites and they list it as that, that's how it's listed. See, look, there it is again. There it is again.
Botinha.
Botinha.
Yeah, which is Portuguesa for the Achilles lock. I looked at that, I was like, what the fuck's a Botinha?
Oh, man.
And then he beats Kanan at the end, 2-0. So Kanan gets second place. Felipe Andrew takes first place. And Bruno Lima takes third place.
That's a brown belt.
Yeah. How about that? That's dope.
I always, what was funny was, you know how what was his name? It's like Lou Cannon or what? Bring up his name. Bring up his name.
What name we're talking about, Josh? You know it was like his name. Most people.
The Perttu Teppanen. I always thought it was that guy. I was like, that guy looks really Finnish. And then I was like, oh, wait, he's Brazilian. Or he's Portuguese. He's from Portugal.
Yeah, Bruno Lima's from Portugal. Port, as it be, Josh.
So, I thought it was Brazilian.
He looks kind of Brazilian.
Yeah, so suck it. He's a brown belt. He took third.
Super impressive. Like, damn.
Great performance. Spend a little cash. Watch it. It's $10. You get it for 7 days.
And it's 4 hours of top-level guys going at it. Production quality is...
So-so.
It's so-so in places, but...
You know, no. Let's go back. I'm not going to lie. On its production quality was better than this. Audio-wise.
Yeah, I'll give you that. I'll give you that. It is what it is.
As much as we love to shit on its audio issues.
They had commentary that I could hear.
Yeah. This was worse.
But let's be serious. Only we watch Jiu-Jitsu for the commentary. Everyone else mutes that shit and watches it for the matches.
No.
We are the like hipsters
Sean,
of Jiu-Jitsu.
Sean Williams, you know, people listen to.
AJ Agazarm.
I refuse to say it's good.
J-Rug Labuto, like, dudes are good on commentary.
Yes.
So that's what we got for Copapodia.
Copapodio.
It was a fun ass event.
Tattoo
$10.
That on your face.
Please don't do that, Josh. Please don't do that. Anything else to add, Josh?
No.
So on to our preview of Fight to Win Pro 77. This event is in Sacramento, California. It actually is in Sacramento, California. We checked this time. we made sure after 2 weeks ago's fuck up that.
We said it was in Sacramento when it was really in San Jose.
So this one is in Sacramento. We checked. Fight to Win Pro 77 is headlined by a black belt masters no-gi lightweight title, Marcus Torregrossa versus Travis Maglett.
Stealing my thunder. I'm the one that says the names, damn it.
No, I do the first name, and then you do the subsequent names, because the first name is usually the only name I know.
Do I really not pay attention to you that much to where you always say the first name?
Yeah, I always introduce it. It's headlined by da-da-da, and then you do the co-main event to the rest of them because I butcher all the rest of the names.
Oh, yeah, that's true. You do that. Mm-hmm. It's been a long day.
Dude, we're both dying right now.
I'm exhausted.
I was sick 2 days this week. I had to take off.
Fever dreams?
Not fever dreams. Not fever dreams. I woke up on Monday. I was like, I don't feel great. Went to work. Woke up on Tuesday. I was like, oh, shit, I'm going to die. And then was sick Tuesday. Woke up Wednesday. I was like, I should not infect my office with whatever I still apparently have. And then went to work Thursday feeling not great. My boss looked at me like, you're all right? I'm like, I'm here. And she went, all right. So the co-main event for this event is?
Black belt, masters, gi, welterweight title. Cassio Wernick from Wernick Jiu-Jitsu versus Homolo Mello from Homolo Mello Jiu-Jitsu. Just wanted to say that just because. 170-pound black belt no-gi match. Dustin Akbari versus Enrico Coco. That shit's going to be fire.
So we're gonna say it every time, but this whole black belt card at the beginning is dope. There's some really good matchups on this. And if we had more time, we would actually preview them a little more and talk about how you think the matchups are going to go. But there's this whole black belt. It's a Friday. It's a Friday card, and the whole section of black belts is dope. It's exciting.
Yes. Super heavyweight black belt gi match. Ernest Mello from Inside BJJ Podcast.
Shout out.
Versus Alex Huddleston. Black belt gi match. No weight on this one. Joseph Thompson versus Gustavo Enriquez. 185-pound black belt no gi match. Miguel Augusto versus Kyle Rideau. 180-pound black belt gi match. Louis Moreno versus David Anderson. 170-pound black belt gi match. Garrett Aldrich versus Dom Hoskins.
Dude, he is on an event every weekend.
Who?
Dom.
Oh, yeah.
Like, get on the grind, Mr. Hoskins.
170-pound black belt gi match. Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we covered him like last week.
We didn't cover him last week. There wasn't a last week card.
I think he was on something else then.
Oh, God, it's all blending together. Marcus Bones, and it's Bones, not Boness.
I called him Boness for the entire time, like last time we covered him.
Versus Derek DeMano. 165-pound black belt gi match, Sean Cox versus James Cotter. 155-pound no gi match, Andrew Fonseca versus Colo Vida. 150-pound black belt gi match, Sean Gonsolin versus Manny Moreno. 210-pound no gi match.
Doesn't list black or brown belt.
Daryl Liner versus Jerry DiMaggio. Then we get into the brown belt matches and purple, you know, the usual purples. Then we get into a couple of kids and teens matches, the usual stuff.
Yeah. Again, it looks like a good card. A lot of turning people that we've seen, purple belt and up all the way through the card, some guys that bring the heat. So check it out. Again, always love watching some live jiu-jitsu on Friday. It's going to be fun. The Cali cards are always fun for them.
Indeed. And they start later, so it's easier to watch them.
Way easier for us.
Indeed.
So on to a one-off grappling event. Grappling Industries is hosting Wagner Hosha versus Dante Leon at one of their events. It looks like it's the Miami event on June 23rd. It is a 20-minute match, 10 points, 10 minutes, no points, and then 10 minutes with points. They do these from time to time, and they are usually fun.
They did it with Gordon versus Keenan.
Yeah, they've done Gordon and Keenan. They've done Kit Dale and Craig Jones. It was, but they've done a bunch of them, and they're always good. I think they've had DJ Jackson on one, but the big one they're known for was the Keenan versus
Gordon.
No time limit, and that was
like 90 minutes long.
And it was some fire shit, and eventually he gets him. He throws up sub, defend, gets him. And I watched it live, and I looked away when he subbed him, and I missed it.
I think I was at work, and I had it on my phone.
I was actually texting back and forth with Matt, one of our correspondents for the show, about the match. We're texting. I looked down. He's like, oh, he gets him. And I looked. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? I've been watching this for an hour and a half, and I look down the second he gets the sub. So, Josh, how'd you see this match going?
Interesting. It's hard to bet against Wagner.
And that's what I was going to say. He's just been the past, what?
Forever since we've been covering him.
Since we've been doing the show.
Since before that, he's a very tough competitor.
He's a hard guy to beat. Like, yes. You see him on Fight to Win all the time. He's just, no one ever, like, looks good against Wagner. That's the best way to put it, I think.
It's hard to beat him. It was hard to beat him in EBI. It was hard to beat him in combat jiu-jitsu.
It's a no-gi match. So I'm picking Wagner here. Again, Dante's
a beast,
but he's
too.
He's looked so good recently, too. And we've seen him recently like put on performances at those high levels. And we've seen Wagner do it, too. So this is...
It's a hard match to call. I think it's a safe bet to say Wagner, but I wouldn't be surprised if Dante beats him.
I wouldn't be surprised if Dante outpoints him.
That's beating him, right?
It is.
So I wouldn't be surprised.
Right, but I'm giving additional information as to like how he beats him. Like, I don't see Wagner getting subbed.
That's another hard thing to do as well.
Yeah, that's why I don't see him getting subbed, but I could see Dante, because we've seen Dante rack up some points against some really good guys. We've seen Wagner do it as well, but I think if Dante beats him, he's going to do it on points, and if Wagner beats him, I think he's going to just like win by like a point or two. I don't think either of these guys are going to sub each other.
Just given the nature of the event. Sub him.
I think Wagner definitely could sub him, but I don't.
Because he starts rear naked choking your face. And then he continues.
Yeah, he does. I love Wagner. He's super nasty when he competes.
Yeah,
it's like he's one of the nastier guys we see compete because
not in a bad way.
Definitely not in a bad way. In a competitive sort of way. Like I love watching him compete because you just see what's allowed in competition and him just do it with zero regard for the other person because that's what's allowed in the competition. I love it. So that is happening on June 23rd. Anything else to add, Josh?
Watch it.
Yeah, watch the shit out of it. So, moving on to BOA Super 8, the 4th edition. This event is taking place on June 23rd, and it should start at 7 p.m.
I think Flo does a lot of things in Central Time.
Okay, but it's in Australia, so I hope they're not listing the local time, which they've done before. So, I have no idea when the event starts. This is an event, honestly, I don't know a ton about. They put a 30-second teaser/promo out, and I am hype for it. It looks great. Even the lineup they have, James Brown. So what Josh and I know about it.
Eight-man tournament. at the 88 kilo division.
Winner gets 20,000 Australian dollars.
What's the conversion rate on that?
It's Monopoly money to
It's Monopoly money.
It's Monopoly money to Chinese yen, Josh. It's Australian dollars. I have no idea what the conversion rate is.
Okay, keep
talking.
When I
was over there, it was like, I think it was like 2-1 when I was over there, but that was like 10 years ago. But I could be wrong and an idiot, which we've established on this show. So this event has James Brasco, DJ Jackson, Craig Jones, Ben Hodgkinson, Robert Dib Frias, Felipe Pons...
Pomaski,
Michael Perez, and Charles Negromonte. I'm interested to see if we see Craig Jones versus Negromonte again, because we saw them at Nogi Worlds, and Negromonte knocked him out in the first round when he was coming off that 80cc hot streak. So I'm interested to see if they put them on the same side of the bracket. Wouldn't surprise me, but...
You know what we talked about hoping to see and then didn't get to see it?
What?
Craig Jones versus DJ Jackson.
Did we not see that?
No.
When was that supposed to happen? What event was that? Because we talked about Kasai. It, and you and I were excited. That's what it was. It was Kasai Pro 2, or I think it was Kasai Pro 2.
Yeah.
We were super excited to see it, because, yeah.
It was roughly the same weekend as the fight to win Maryland, and he couldn't make it up there for some reason
or
another.
Yep. That was a lot of fun. So hopefully, I would love to see that matchup. This whole card, it looks great. Apparently, there's a bunch of super fights on it as well. I can't find any information on who else is on it. I assume there's going to be a bunch, because their 8-man bracket is usually going to be pretty quick. They usually will put super fights on cards like this to fill out the rest of the event. So what's the conversion ratio, Josh?
One Australian dollar equals 74 cents.
Or you say $74. I was like, God damn, they got a great conversion rate.
Yeah, I know, right? No, it's 0.74 United States dollars.
So you win at about...
$14,875.
So you're winning $15,000 if you win this.
American schmeckles.
Schmeckles. You know a schmeckle is equal to 148 U.S. dollars? Or 38, one of the two. The conversion rate. So in 25 schmeckles, to get down the bridge is a shitload of money. It's a Rick and Morty conversion rate for everyone that doesn't know.
So
this event looks great. If you have more information on this event, send it to us, because we've been able to find the very limited stuff, so we would like to do a bigger
thing
on it.
James Brasco and DJ Jackson are both really strong wrestlers.
Yes.
Craig Jones is a leg-locking half-guard machine.
Yes.
Ben Hodgkinson's looks like Keenan a little bit. It has a similar style game. We talked about him at the Abu Dhabi Grand Slam in what country was
Tokyo?
That? I can't remember, but we talked about the story. I was like, where do I remember this guy?
It was probably Abu Dhabi.
But he beat me as a purple belt many moons ago. Roberto Frias is living in Australia, but is a Brazilian. Charles Negromonte, Polaris.
He's a Hodger Gracie black belt.
Exactly. Michael Perez, Atos. Is it Atos? Or am I thinking of different somebody else? We've seen a Mikey Perez on a Michael Perez, if I'm not mistaken, is the same person, on many cards previously. This should be a great little 8-man tournament.
Dude, I love all the smaller, 16-man for me almost gets a little big, because the first round is kind of a wash usually. Usually you get your big names crushing two guys. An 8-man that's as stacked as this is? You have some dope matches immediately in the first round. You're like, oh, how's this going to play out? Like, who do you even seed where? Because your first round, you're going to get
no idea.
A bunch of big guys against each other. Then your second round, more big. It's like Marina's Open. You get big guys versus big guys versus big guys. Then your
I
finals.
Hope they just throw shit at the wall and they're like, yep, that's the first matchup. That's the second matchup.
Because there's not a matchup in this 88-kilo bracket that I would not want to see. So
I'm really pulling for Craig Jones versus DJ Jackson. I really want to see that
match. I want to see that, and I want to see Craig Jones versus Negromonte again. So either of those happen in the first round, I'm, as they say, a happy camper. It happens in the finals, way happy camper, because they both got some history.
Indeed.
So that's BOA Super 8, the fourth edition in Australia. I like that Australia is putting on more super fight cards recently. We've seen a couple in the last year. We've seen two or three coming out of Australia that are good, so I'm excited for this. So EBI 16, the bantamweights, the female bantamweights, correction there, is happening this next weekend, and it is a loaded card. Shout out to BJJ Heroes for doing a great write-up on all the competitors that are listed on there with all their stats and who they are. So if you're interested in some more in-depth information on who each of these competitors are, take a look at that because it's a great resource. So first competitor.
Bianca Basilio, fresh black belt, very exciting to watch. Really looking forward to see how she does.
We cover her on the show all the time.
Frequently.
In the finals, usually, definitely in the semifinals, everything she's at, top competitor. She's one of the people I'm most excited to see on this, in this bracket for the women. There's a couple I'm excited to see, but she's the one I can see taking it.
Super explosive. Very, very excited to see that. Erin Hurl, who, again, we kept seeing her in these high weight classes, and here she is at the 135 weight class.
Yeah, we see her fight to win a lot, and we see her in IBJJF a lot. That's where we see her mostly pop up.
It's very interesting. I love watching her compete. She's got a great spider guard. She moves well. It'll be interesting. I have not seen a lot of her no-gi game, though.
Yeah, we typically see her compete in the gi.
We've typically seen her. Not seeing that she doesn't, it's just Maine and I typically see her.
And when we covered her for the show, we typically see her competing in the gi. So I like seeing people branch out.
Brooke Mayo, who is fighting out of the Nick Diaz Academy, formerly with Team Alpha Male.
I don't know much about her, so nope. BJJ has a small write-up on her, and I'm going to read through that. But, again, I think she's they always put a couple dark horse people into these brackets. I think she's one of those.
Going on to Sophia Nordeno. She is fighting out of Hilti Jiu-Jitsu, Scandinavia. You got a lot of those sleepers coming out of that area.
Yeah, we've had a lot. We had a lot of big grapplers come out of the Finland and the IKEA countries recently. So I'm always excited.
I really hate that you say that.
The IKEA countries?
Yeah.
Everyone knows exactly. Norway, Sweden, and Finland. Man.
Feeden.
Norway,
I'm from Feeden.
Norway, Sweden, and Finland. There's been some monster grapplers coming out of there recently. And especially with the trials being over there. The ADCC being over there. I think it did huge things for the sport in that region. We're seeing more and more big competitors coming out of there. So I'm excited to see her flying over to be in this event.
Nikki Sullivan, who we've, again, definitely seen a lot of on Fight to Wins. We've covered her frequently. She is out of Atos and Nice Guy Submission. So she's a tough competitor, again. The breakdown's there. We've covered her a whole bunch. I'm not going to say, we look forward to seeing what she does in the match, because it's all a wash until we get to see when the brackets come out, which will probably come out tomorrow. And we're you motherfuckers had to wait till Monday when we're recording.
I will give them credit. Usually the brackets come out the day after, usually Tuesday. So usually we're at least the show's out at that point. But yeah, Nikki Sullivan.
Moving on to Amanda Leve, fighting out of Ricardo Almeida Jiu-Jitsu. The picture that they use is great because they're wearing the Cash Chicks and Championship shirt, the Garitonin shirt. She's going to be versed in the leg locks. So it'll be really, really interesting to see how far she goes. She's a brown belt. That'll be one to watch, too. She might be one of the... That's a dark horse, I feel, in the whole field. You have next Amanda Ribas. I like this. So she's contracted to fight with the UFC. Again, shout out to BJJ Heroes for really, giving a
they do,
great
they
breakdown.
Do good work.
It says she was supposed to make her UFC debut, but after a failed out-of-competition PED test, postponed her octagon debut, she goes back to her grappling roots. Awesome. She competed in judo and jiu-jitsu. Great. So,
and honestly, if you're UFC-level talent, you're signed to the organization, you're a pretty good athlete. So I'm excited. I always like to see those athletes coming in.
I you can't see it, but I just made a face.
You did.
At Maine, because they have signed a lot of people that have had horrible levels of talent that they just put on there because, I mean,
they have. But if you're failing a test at a competition, you take your physique seriously. And
no, you take your steroids seriously,
which you should if you're a professional athlete. We talk about this every show, Josh. So I'm amped to see it.
Amanda Alaquin. Again, some of these.
This is Tubby Alaquin. We see her on Fight Twitter.
Oh,
yeah.
See, I never see her actual name.
Yep, she's listed on Facebook as Tubby Alaquin.
And then I look down and I see Tubby. Okay, so Tubby Alaquin. Hell yeah, I love seeing her compete again. Like we've seen her on tons of Fight to Wins. Just all over the place.
IBJJF, ADCC trials. Like, she's a dope competitor.
She comes from Peta Panos camp, which is awesome. Great, great guard, Peta Panos. So that'll, you know, learning that stuff from there. So it'll be cool to see Tubby do work.
It'll be cool to see someone with a good guard in EBI.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, indeed. Tracy Goodell. She vanished from the face of the earth. I don't even remember the last time I remember seeing her compete.
It's been a while.
She was a great competitor when I do remember her competing. I don't know where. I mean, this was former girlfriend of Mike Fowler, and there's a whole drama that followed that around that I'm not getting into. But she's definitely a tough competitor, so I believe she'll do well in this as well. Here I am just rambling on. Anyway, Raquel Canuto, who we just saw at Worlds.
We saw her at Nogi Worlds. We've seen her at Kasai. We've seen her all over the place. I assume that they're going to put her and Bianca on the opposite sides of the bracket, given she just placed, what, I think second or third at Worlds this year?
Yeah, but who did she lose to?
I completely forgot, Josh. That was like 3 weeks ago, man.
I think that was Bia Mosqueda that she lost to.
I think so.
Yeah, and who's in this car? Who's on it? Bia Mosqueda.
Oh, yeah.
Watch it come out and half these people aren't on here.
It's happened before. That's what happened. God, don't remind me. That's what happened at the heavyweight thing they had when they had all those big name heavyweights for the guys a couple years ago.
They had
like Dean Lister and like all of them huge monsters.
Out.
And then they replaced, I think they replaced 7 out of the 16 like within the last like week or two of the event. Really hope that doesn't happen here.
Right. So Canuto is tough in the gi. I have not watched her in
no
gi.
No, we've seen her in Kasai. She was in no gi in Kasai.
Man.
When she double-legged the fuck out of that woman.
Oh,
it looked away. That was
her.
Yeah, that was her. She was listed as an odd name. She was listed as Raquel Paolui, not Raquel Canuto. And that's what confused us before when you were trying to preview the card.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, fuck.
So we've seen her compete
awesome.
In Nogi. She was dope in Nogi.
Yeah, so you have Talia Marie Vaughn. Just like BJJ Heroes. I've never seen her compete in no-gi. I'm assuming that you have no-gi experience. As much as I don't like training no-gi,
man, this is 2018. This is 2018.
No-gi.
Everyone has no-gi experience. Like, it's 2018. People train in no-gi.
You have Niedrauer? I'm sorry. I'm butchering.
Is it a German name?
It might be.
It looks like the same spelling as Nebuchadnezzar. Kind of.
No,
so
it doesn't. That's
no,
not even close.
No, but the letter orientation looks similar. So like, I assume it's got some similar phonetic things in the way it's pronounced.
Niedrauer?
Maybe. I don't know.
We're bad at names.
Purple belt. Nogi world champion 2017. So you know she's got the skills. You know she's basically a black belt. If you're winning the Nogi world championships, a purple belt. That's how that works.
Yeah, you're a pretty serious competitor.
Yep, you're on this big stage. And then we have Bia Mosqueda.
That is the worst picture ever. You couldn't find a better picture?
Any picture.
She's a fucking monster.
To put it lightly, Josh, yes. I think that is the best way to put it. I think we're going to get Bia and Canuto on one side, opposite sides of the bracket, and we're going to get Bianca and Hurl on the other corners of the bracket. That would not surprise me for how they set this bracket up.
So how many people was that?
There's one more. And we have Jess Bermudez with no information on this athlete from Padilla, BJJ. Mike Padilla competes on EBI all the time. We see him on the Super Fight circuit on every fourth or third event he's on doing something. We've seen him everywhere. So he's on that event as well. She's on that event as well. My bad.
And rounding it out is Liz Tracy, who, again, just won the 10th Planet qualifiers. So a lot of these people, I think, are just going to get there by the wayside. Bea Mesquita
as EBI does.
Strong lock for the finals. Bianca Basilio, strong. Depending on where they seed them, if they put all of these tough competitors on one side, I'm going to be really mad.
So usually what happens for EBI, and we have seen it happen both ways, and Josh and I have talked about our problems with the seeding before in EBI. I've seen them do it where they put all the big name competitors on one side of the bracket, so you're guaranteed to see those matchups. But recently they've done it the correct way, which is you seed them kind of properly. You put your big names as far away from each other as you can, and they meet in the quarters and in the semis. This event, they should be able to do that with the big name women that they got. This is definitely the most prestigious women's event we've seen them run. The previous one was good. This one is talent stacked, to say the least.
Indeed, yes.
Who is the current EBI 135-pound bantamweight champion?
There isn't one.
Did they do
flyweight
last time? Was it
the last one at 115 or 125?
I don't remember. But
I want to say it was at 125.
Man, we should really know that.
We should.
But I forgot. I think it was EBI 14 or 13.
Back more.
Was it that long ago? I think we've covered it on the show.
12.
We've covered it on the show, so it couldn't have been that long ago.
True.
But we're rambling here. So this event should be really fun. This is, again, by far the highest level of females we've seen compete on EBI. Super excited for it. Love that they're showcasing women's jiu-jitsu, because Josh and I, you know, constantly talk about that's not showcased enough. So it's great to see the 10th Planet and EBI showcasing that.
And in true Grappling Rewind fashion, we were going off of one article and then find other information. So we're just going to leave that one part in, and now we're going to add some more. So Lila Smaja is actually in, supposedly. This is what I hate. They really don't release one full, like, thing that has
all of their this is the problem we have with EBI every time. We can't get a fucking competitor list until, like, the day of the brackets are released. Okay, this is still on the event. So right now we have, like, I think about 20 women or so that could be potentially in this event.
A lot of the ones that we did cover, Amanda Ribas, Bea Mesquita, Nikki Sullivan, Talia Marie Vaughn, Tubby Aliquin, people like that, they're still on there. But Lila Smaja is on there, supposedly. Sophia Nordeno, supposedly. You know, Kayla Patterson. Some of these are tentative. We also have all of these. Ooh, excuse me. We also have all of these super fights that are all CJJ fights. Like
combat jiu-jitsu?
Yes. Bobby Emmons.
Who replaces Wagner Hosha as the challenger.
To Boogie Martinez.
So that's for the 170 belt, because Boogie has that belt right now at 170, and Bobby Owens is going to see if he can take it from him.
There's also a female combat jiu-jitsu match. But then you also have Luana Alzugir in there, a multi-time world champion, is a beast. I don't know if that's going to be the – if she's going to be the – one of the it looks like she's one of the entrants into the actual tournament, not one of the female competitors in the CJJ match. Also, we have Pamela Aguirre. See, rough. I really wish they gave you, like, here are all of these competitors. And I understand people can get hurt, people can get sick.
Update it.
Other obligations. Just update it and let people know.
Yeah, we also have a combat jiu-jitsu match. PJ Barch versus Mikey Gonzalez.
I love combat jiu-jitsu. I think they were talking about...
Okay. So, apparently, in combat jiu-jitsu now, are there up kicks?
I think so. There was talks about adding them, which I would be excited about. It makes more sense.
So, Josh and I talked about this. Josh Nostradamus this shit in an episode. I think when the first combat jiu-jitsu thing came out, Josh said, wait for it. Give it a couple events. They're going to add up kicks. And I went, why would you add up kicks? You're just doing MMA at that point, like MMA light. And then they had some problems and boom, up kicks are in now.
I think. I'm not going to guarantee
I'm not going to guarantee him, but there was discussion that they're in at this event. So we will see. The commentary staff will have no idea, per usual, with combat jiu-jitsu because they have never read the rules. I really hope that they read the fucking rules this time because...
Who's the one guy again that I always hate? You always remember his
Scott
name.
Ross?
Yes, that guy. No. Scott Ross. TJ DeSantis, again, has been growing on the both of us and he's doing better and better each time.
He's a professional commentator, and he like takes his job seriously and like does good commentary.
Scott Ross, terrible commentator, terrible referee.
You want to hear about that? Look at our last EBI episode where Josh espouses on this.
Just watched the last 10 Planet qualifier, and he's there being a terrible referee.
Yeah. So this event's coming up. This is a huge event for grappling. EBIs are always a big deal.
That
community.
Is going to be running while we're recording.
Man, again.
I know. When it was on that Saturday, it was awesome. So this is going to be one of those things that we're going to pinch in on like a Monday at a random time so we can get this in.
It's not going to be a random time. Usually what happens is if you're a card that runs on Sunday night that finishes at 1 a.m., we finish up recording. Then we go back and rewatch it Monday afternoon as soon as we're off work at 5. Josh gets to my house at 6. We record from like 6 to 9. I finish editing the podcast by the skin of my teeth at like 11:50, and it goes out midnight Tuesday morning.
We only did that once so far.
I've done it like 3 times. Where I've got to make edits and fix shit. We fucked up.
Yeah, but I've only come here once. Well, I've not come here. This will be the second time because I had to come on that whatever day it was to record. Was that a Monday?
That was
early
Monday.
In the morning?
That was Monday.
Yep. Labor Day?
Something like that.
So, yeah, EBI always puts on a good card. I'm really interested to watch it. We will not watch it while we're recording because you'll just hear us screaming.
Because we try
being
that.
Like, oh, shit. So that won't happen. We'll get into it. We'll get you that. Awesome, awesome grappling coverage. And that's it for our previews for the upcoming week.
Pretty much, that does it.
You know what we forgot to do in the beginning of this?
Introduce ourselves.
Like we're not known by the people that actually listen to this
podcast.
Yeah, I
was going
to
cut it in and do it, but I'm going to leave this piece in now. So if that's not in there, you know, I've been Maine.
I am always Josh.
And we're going to cut this into the beginning of the episode.
Of course.
See you on the mats.
The Grappling Rewind. As always, you can email us at thegrapplingrewind@gmail.com. You can check us out on Stitcher, iTunes, YouTube, and pretty much anywhere you can find
Facebook
podcasts. We're on Facebook, Grappling Rewind.
Instagram.
Grappling Rewind.
Twitter.
Grappling Rewind.
Reach out to us on social media. If you got something you want us to cover, you want to clarify, you know, we are here.
You
want to
tell us we're idiots. Hey, let us know.
You want us to pronounce your name correctly?
Let us know. Subscribe. Subscribe on the YouTube page. Leave us a review.
Helps us out a lot.
It helps us out. And, you know, it eventually will help you out. We like to give back. We're doing this as something that isn't done. So help us help you. Again, as always, I'm Josh.
I'm Maine.
And this is the Grappling Rewind Podcast.
We'll see you on the mats.